Just want to share a few thoughts this morning with you. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me. I want to think a little bit about what we wrote on the board. The Lord has a vision. And I've been thinking some about God's work and the things He does and the work of His hands and the work that He wants to do. I wanted to start over in Genesis 1:1, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." You know, this morning, before it ever was, God saw it all like He wanted it. He saw the whole earth, the world. He knew He wanted to create people. He knew He wanted to create those that He could walk with and commune with and have joy in, and they have joy in Him. And God, it says in the beginning, He created the heaven and the earth. He created everything. But it was without form and void. And the Lord began to work. And He began to create. And He began to make. And I'm just amazed at the things God has made. Our mind cannot even take in just the human body, much less all the solar system and the ecosystems of the earth. It's truly an amazing thing. God had a plan when He did that. He saw ahead and He made that just like He wanted to make it. And He made man, He formed out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into him the breath of life. And the Lord did that just like He planned to do. And I just want us to think about this morning that God had a vision for that. And He saw all of that before He started. And God still has a vision. He sees you and me. And He's got a vision for us too. He sees us collectively. And He has a vision. And the Lord has things He wants to do. He has a plan and a profile and a way for your life that only He knows. And we ourselves don't know. But God knows. He has something He's wanting to do. And something He's wanting to make. He has an end in mind. Just like He did with the earth. And all of those things. He made it for our benefit. And for our pleasure. The Lord, the heavens, it says, are His throne. And the earth His footstool. That's figuratively speaking in a way. But you know, we see God made all of those things. It wasn't really for His benefit. That was for our benefit. But He made us for Him. And God has in mind the same kind of vision for us, the same intensity of vision, I'll say, that He had for the earth and for all of those things for us. I want to just touch on a few scriptures before we really go where we want to go. In Isaiah 65:18, it says, Isaiah 65:18, "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people, a joy." Did you know that's what God has in mind for His people, for His church? We sing about the song, "The New Jerusalem." You know, God has a plan in mind for Jerusalem. And I'm not talking about over there in Israel. He has a plan in mind for us as a people. Have we ever really thought about that? That God has a design in mind. And He has things in mind that He wants to see in His body, in His church. He has things He wants to do and things He wants to build. He's quite limited with that because He has limited Himself in creating it within us to our will. And when He created the heavens and the earth, There was no limitations. He could do anything he wanted. But with us, and with us as a body, he's limited himself to our will. And he won't go over that. But he has a thought in mind. He has a vision in mind, and he has things he wants to create within us and within us as a body. And God wants to do that. And I'm just thinking this morning, I want to go on and a little more. But let's think about God has a vision. He has something in mind for my life, for your life, for our lives together. God has a vision for that. He has something he wants to build. He has something he wants to do. And oh, how we want to move into that place. The Lord don't plan on us staying where we are forever or even for a long period of time. The Lord plans for us, if we will submit to his will and allow him to create within us, he wants to do wondrous things in the world today. I really believe that. But it takes a real working with the Lord and allowing him to work, because he won't force it upon us like he did when he spoke the trees into existence. And the light, he said, let there be light. He saw that that was good. That was God's creation. He wants to let there be light in us. The Lord wants to speak to our lives, and it will be good. I have no doubts about that. You know, in Psalms 51, we all know, most of us know that, where David, he cried out to the Lord, 51:10, create in me a clean heart. God could do that. God will do that. Do we believe that? Are we willing to let him create in us? David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Lord, David had to say, I have really messed up. I've gone a long ways from your will. I brought reproach to your cause. I did. David, this was after Bathsheba and all he did to kill her husband and all of those wicked things. And he cried out to the Lord, Lord, create something new in me. Renew in me a right spirit. In Ezekiel 36 and 26, the Lord gives us a promise, and I love this promise. When I start talking to people in the world and they start telling me, that there's no help, that we can just do the best we can, I like to quote this scripture. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you an heart of flesh. I just want us to think this morning about these kinds of things. Let our mind expand just a little bit this morning and ask the Lord, Lord, what is your vision for my life? Lord, where are we at right now? What do you want to do with me? I don't want to mar your plan at all. I really would like to just center up in your plan. Do we have that much faith in God to believe that his plan is better than ours? I'm asking that as a question. Do we really believe that God's plan is better than ours? I do. I don't have any question about it. And several years ago, I came to the place where instead of struggling with God's will, I seldom, I won't say I never do, but I'll tell you, I want all the Lord's will. If he speaks a word, I want to hear it. Because what I've realized is it's so far superior to mine that I need it and I want it. And I know that God has some things in mind and he wants to do in our lives. I want to talk a little bit about just vision in general. I was thinking, and my mind went back the other day to Mount Rushmore, and I looked up some things on that. And I was thinking about, we went up there here a few years ago, and that's a magnificent thing, the faces of the presidents up there. They were hewn, or they were taken from solid rock, from granite, and made into likenesses of four of our presidents. An amazing, amazing thing there. And I was looking at that. They said it took 14 years to do that. 450,000 tons of rock were removed. They had 400 men working. The faces are 60 feet tall, each one. And you know, you can see those from a long distance away. It's an amazing work. But what I found out was that there was a man that saw that in his mind. And I'm sure it evolved as he went. But he saw that in his mind before he ever started. And a long time before that, they began to gather up and began to try to make that happen. The president at that time came to the state there. And they had had him there because they wanted to try to convince him to fund the project. And so he liked to fish. So every day they would flood the river. Every night they would flood the river with thousands of fish so that next day he could catch all kinds of fish. He stayed an extra 2 months at that place. And they did get their funding in the end, although I think they had to have a lot of private funding too. But you know, I was just thinking about that whole project. Somebody had a vision. Somebody saw something they wanted to create. And they began to work at it. And I always thought, I knew they did some blasting and things to bring that to be. But I always knew they did a lot of drilling too. But they said that over 90%, I believe it was, of that whole work was done through blasting. Little explosions that they put in that blew off chunks of rock. Until you could begin to see what they had. And they said the last little 4 inches or so that they drilled and they ground and they drilled holes until it was like a honeycomb. And then they'd just peel it off and grind it down until they said it was smooth as a tabletop. I don't know if the whole thing's that way, but it's an amazing thing that they have done. And I want us to think about that this morning. About the Lord working on us. There, it takes a lot of things for the Lord to create through our life, the person, the pillar in the church. We're not lifting people up. We're talking about people that can bear weight. We're talking about people that can take responsibility. You know, the Lord wants to create within us a person that maybe we're not right now. Maybe we've been saved a little while. And there's several of us young here. I want to encourage all of us to look ahead a little bit through the eyes of the Lord. The Lord has some things He wants to do. This mountain had many, many explosions. Many, many things. Because the sculptor was at work and wanted to create what he saw in his mind. Those faces were drawn before that ever happened. And then they were enlarged and so that things would be in the right proportion. I think the eyes were, I believe, 11 feet wide, the eyes. But looking at it from a distance, it looks in proportion. It just looks right. Somebody worked hard to do that. This morning, I want to encourage us to let the Lord sculpt on our life. There might be a few explosions. There might be lots of little explosions in our life. Little things God lets happen. Well, why did that have to happen? Because God is at work. You know, if we rebel, if we turn our faces away from God's allowing in our life, you know, He can never work what He wants to work. But if we will take our hands off and say, Lord, I really want You to change me from place to place. I want You to increase my understanding. You know, then God will begin to work on us. He will begin to let little explosions happen all over the place because He's got something that He wants to emerge. Maybe we don't have much faith and confidence in God when we start. We just get saved. We just start walking. I don't see how God can take me. God wants to make us men and women of faith. where when something comes, we don't fall over. God wants to make that into our life. How will He do that? He'll do that by letting things come our way. Maybe explosions happen. Maybe things that seem like it's going to rock us off our feet. And maybe it's small. But God knows just what we want. Those weren't wild explosions. Those explosions were dedicated. They were just the right amount. They weren't just violent. But they were they were just the right amount for the amount of rock to come off until they got down to where they could begin to put a finish on that. You know, God wants to do that with our life today. I really believe that. Do we really believe that the Lord, He has a vision for our life? Do we really believe that He has an end in mind for me and for you? Do we really believe that He has something He wants to make, that He is at work, and that He plans to build into our life His graces and His image? He's sculpting on us. He's wanting to transform us into His image more and more. And when we start, we have quite a bit of work to be done. And so I just want to encourage us. Maybe we have a picture for our life that we like. Maybe we have our things in mind, and the Lord's work on us don't match our thoughts. I want to encourage us today, if we will take our hands off of our life and allow God to work, He will sculpt in our life and He will make something beautiful. I believe that. I want us to think about a few scriptures here in Psalms 51 again. And look at verse 15. You know, there's a way that God works with us. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. I hadn't thought about this, but John Bunyan was a man that spent 10 years, I believe, in prison. That was hard for him. It was hard for his family. But I'll tell you what God brought out of that. A book that has benefited the people from then until now. I still benefit every time I think about Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan wrote that while he was in prison. The Lord was sculpting. He was working while he was there. In Psalms 51 and 15, it says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice. What is the Lord desiring from us? How are we going to get from here to there? Is the Lord desiring that we somehow put a big down payment down? Somehow, Lord, if I come up with enough money, if I do the right things, if somehow I get studied enough or something, will you then work? You know, he says here, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now I want to tell you the difference between a broken spirit and our own spirit that's not broken. One is unable to be shaped. One is the way we think it ought to be. And we're holding on to ourself. That is the way we are. If we're not careful, we'll hold on. Well, I always wanted to be. I always wanted to do. I always wanted life to be like this. You know, we can do that, or we can have a broken spirit. And that word broken, I want us to think about it. It means to burst. Literally or figuratively, break. Break down. Break off. Break in pieces. Sounds like a sculptor at work. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. It says broken hearted. Crush, destroy, hurt, tear, quench. You know, I want to apply that to our will this morning, because I believe that's where we're at here with this. The sacrifices that God is wanting from us so He can work in us is that our will is broken. It's crushed. It's not that we don't have any desires anymore or anything like that, but we are broken to the Lord. Lord, the explosions You bring into my life, I'm not going to fight back. Lord, the things You allow, I'm going to take Your way. Lord, the work that You begin to do, the things that You bring, the explosions that happen, whatever it is, Lord, I'm going to allow. My will is going to be yielded to You, and it's going to be broken. Instead of me saying, no, I want it my way, or no, I'm not willing to take Your way, I allow it to be crushed. I allow my will. Have you ever, those of you that's lived for the Lord for a while, have you ever come to a place where it was just like, what am I going to do? How am I going? Well, sometimes we just finally have to come to a place where we just allow God to work. And when we do that, He begins to make what He wanted to make. I will tell you, I believe God wants to produce a people that have peace in their hearts, joy in their lives, works following them. They have some things where the devil is not just on them all the time, but they can get on his territory some. God wants us to become usable in His service. The Lord will take us there if we will let Him, if we will allow Him. But when we're tempted, do we just fall over? Do we just say, well, I can't? I will tell you, the righteous, and I'm not preaching that we should fall at all, but I will tell you, the righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. Because his heart is, I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to center up in God's will. You know, this morning, wherever we're at, however many times we think we've fallen, listen, let God work. When the temptations come, don't just fall over. Go pray with somebody that you have confidence in. Begin to call on God. Fast and pray if you have to. God wants to produce in you a man or a woman that overcomes. God wants to produce in you something the world can see. There's a difference. There's a real difference in these kind of Christians and nominal Christians of the world. The Lord wants to produce that in our life. He wants to produce in our home something beautiful. God wants to do that. But I want to tell you, it takes a lot of blows, doesn't it, sometimes, for us to really, okay, Lord, I submit to You. I submit to You, Lord. You know, this morning, I just want to encourage us, allow God to work. I was thinking about horses. And Brother David there has worked with horses a lot. This may be pretty shallow in his eyes, but we had a horse. And I will tell you, a horse has to be broken. They've got to be broke. If somebody calls on the phone and you're trying to sell it, they want to know, is this horse broke? They want to know if he'll do what you tell him to do. They'll want to know, if I get on, somebody asked, does he kick? Does he buck? I don't remember what else they ask. But that's what they want to know. A horse has to be broken. His will has to be submitted to the master. And then he can become something useful. He can become even something graceful when his will is submitted. I was thinking about the term, I believe I've heard, broke or broken to lead. You know, when you get a horse and you can just lead them around, that's good. But I was thinking about broke to ride. You know, when you get a horse where you can ride him and you can get on him. We had a horse and when you'd get on him, he'd run for the tree and try to scrape you off or put you under a branch or something like that. I never got on him myself. I didn't want that treatment. You know, that's the way horses are sometimes. But you know, horses can be worked with. They can be worked with until they will obey commands, until they become graceful. Yeah, wild horses. They catch them. They call them Mustangs. And they begin to work with them. And they begin to make them into something that can be graceful and beautiful. And people do that. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Can we ourselves not be worked with like that? Can we ourselves not become something that we're not today? God wants to take us there. It comes by our will, just like a horse, being submitted to the will of the Master. I was talking to somebody not long ago about animals and horses and things. And he was talking about you hook a mule to an ox or a cow or whatever he was saying. And he said, it won't take but a few days. And he said, they'll just be following right along. Or maybe it was a horse, I don't know. But anyway, they was talking about that process. Because the mule just won't give. And finally, they submit their will. And they break them that way. You know, God isn't trying to break us in a way that destroys us. He's trying to break our will so that we won't be destroyed. So that we won't spend our eternity in hellfire. The Lord wants to break us so that He can make something beautiful out of us. He wants our will to be submitted to Him so that He can begin to lead us. So that He can begin to use us. So that He can begin to show to the world some graces that He wants to show. God wants to do that in us. It only comes by us laying down our feelings, our will, the stopping that we would have. No, the feelings that we would put up. The Lord wants to use the things that He allows into our life. And if we will allow them, I believe God will do something with us. I know we all know the story of the potter in Jeremiah 18. But you know, it says the Lord told Jeremiah to arise and go down to the potter's house. And he said, there I will cause thee to hear my words. And he said he went down, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. We've watched this several times before. And watched the potter begin to work. He pounds that clay. He works with that clay until he gets the clay soft enough until it will yield unto his will. And when it will yield, and when it becomes the kind of clay he can work with, then he can produce a beautiful piece of pottery or something. And it happens right before your eyes. And the potter is able to do that. I just want us to think about these few little thoughts this morning. The Lord has something in mind for our lives. He wants to give our lives some dimensions it doesn't have yet. And they're good dimensions. They're good things. If we'll allow Him, He will do that. The first step is for us to yield. Allow. We don't have to allow. A lot of times we can run off when God puts us in affliction even. We can run off when God puts us in a trial we don't like of some kind. We can become bitter as opposed to soft. But God can't work in our life that way. He's not able to put into our life the things He wants to. The first thing is for us to yield. And then He begins to mold. Yield to the Lord this morning. Allow the Lord to begin to work with us. It's one blast at a time. One little movement of His hands at a time. It's one little thing at a time. And then the Lord wants to put some finishing touches on us as we go through life. God wants to keep working on us this morning. He allows. Did you know God allows temptation into our life? He allows temptation. He allows us to be touched in a way, hurt. He allows us to be tempted to do wrong. God allows some of those things. What is that about? Why would He allow such a thing? I want to tell you, He wants to use it. He doesn't mean for it to destroy us. He doesn't mean for anything that comes in our life to destroy us. He only allowed it Because I want to tell you something. He'll put it into the plan if we will allow him to. It won't hurt. It won't hurt what God's doing at all. I want to read Acts 9 and 6. Paul was a man that was going about doing what he thought God wanted him to do. Paul had his own mind about how he was going to serve God. And he had his own mind about things. This is what God wants me to do. And it wasn't what God wanted him to do at all. And so in 9 and 6 it says, we'll start here in verse 4. And he fell to the earth, and he was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord smote Paul down with a great light. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, why are you doing exactly opposite of what I want you to do? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I'm the one that you're fighting against. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, this morning, Paul was kicking against the pricks that God kept putting into his heart and life. God was trying to turn Paul around. He kept working on Paul. And Paul was doing God's will. He was going to Damascus to do God's will. And the Lord finally just smote him down. Paul, what are you doing? Now, that's not exactly what he said. But he asked him, it's hard for you. He told him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And you know, Paul, in the next verse, he said something that I want us to take home with us this morning. And he, trembling and astonished, said, he was astonished. You mean I'm fighting against you, Lord? I'm fighting against God? And he said, What wilt thou have me to do? That was what Paul needed to say all along. What will you have me to do, Lord? Okay. All right, I'll quit fighting you. What will you have me to do? Paul was doing it his way. He was taking his way, and he was being quite successful at hindering the work of God that the Lord wanted to do through Paul. But Paul finally said, Okay, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, that's when the Lord started really speaking. Okay, Paul, I got you where I want you. Arise now. Get up. I don't want you down on that pavement. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And you know, from that time on, God began to direct Paul's life. And he began to bless him in a way that Paul never dreamed God could use him. But the Lord did use him. We're still benefiting 2,000 years later almost from those same things. This morning, I just want to challenge us. Allow God to work in our lives. I just think about the work that the Lord wants to do in our midst. I think about the prayer warriors He wants to create. You know, God wants to do that. He wants to make some of us, all of us, into prayer warriors. But I believe there's a little special gift that some have. That Anna, the prophetess, had. She was in the temple. She gave herself all the time to fasting and prayer. She found her place. That's where God wanted her. Now, maybe in her wild days, as a youth, maybe, if she ever had those, I'm sure at one time she had things in her mind, what she wanted to do. God wanted to use Anna, and He did. And we still read about it today. And she saw the Lord, and she knew it was the Lord. Simeon, he knew it was the Lord. How did he know? Because Simeon was a man that walked with God. You know, this morning, we need people to lead out in prayer. We need people to be the hands and the feet that we heard about this morning of the Lord's work. We need people, and not that we don't have any, because we do. But I'm urging all of us, let God create in you what He's wanting to do. Take our hands off. If God allowed it in our life, He'll use it for our good. If we'll allow it. If we'll say, okay, Lord, what will you have me to do? Here I am. What will you have me to do? That's not an easy place to be in. Maybe we don't feel like life is all working out. Like, how's this going to happen? Listen, what would you have me to do, Lord? What do you want? What do you want out of my life? What do you want me? You know, when we get to that place, God can begin to mold. I want to encourage us today, let Him mold in your life. God has something in mind. He has a vision in mind. And it's not just, well, whatever comes. He has some things in mind that He wants to do. I just thought I'd mention one place over in Acts 13. And I'm going to turn to that. 13 and 1. Some of these here were really wanting God's will to be done. And it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, what were they doing when they were ministering to the Lord and fasting? They were seeking, what would you have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Can we ask the Lord that today? Not, Lord, you got to get me out of here so you can do something with me. No, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's what God wants to talk to us this morning, each one. Lord, I want you to work in my life. I want to be broken, my will broken. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. God begins to put callings. Now, Paul was already called here. But we find where it says, I want you to separate them for the work. I've got something special I want them to do. You know, the Lord has something special He wants us to do. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. You know, this morning they were seeking the Lord's direction, and the Lord gave it to them. I believe that this morning. When we yield ourselves to God, He will make something beautiful in our life. He will use our life. I believe He has a gift for every person. I fully believe that. The gifts are not limited to some special person. We may not be able to do something someone else does, but they won't be able to do what we do either. And God has that special thing for us. Allow God into our lives in that way. Amen.